Hello, this is On The Wing on TalkSport 2 with me, Kate Mason. Now, we're in the England squad this week, and in the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be introducing you to some of the real linchpins of the squad, chatting with manager Mark Sampson, and finding out from our co-host Alex Scott whether she's a blue or a yellow person, and what on earth that means. We're in St George's Park in Burton-upon-Trent because the England National Football Centre is hosting us today, all in the run-up to England Women's penultimate Euros qualifier against Estonia at Notts County FC. That's Meadow Lane on Thursday, the 15th of September at 7:05pm kickoff time. Sure to see plenty of goals in this one, and it could be a bit of a victory tour. England have already qualified at the moment, top of Group 7 with 16 points. And last time we faced Estonia, we beat them 8-0, and that was away. So that's the game we're building up to this week. And of course, we're going to get more of a roundup from the Women's Super League later on in the hour. But thinking about how the Super League affects the England national squad, Alex Scott, it must be a pretty weird situation where you're playing against each other most weeks and then having to bond as a team.
I think that's stuff that we've had to work on. You have to leave your club commitments aside because what you do at club doesn't necessarily benefit the England team. So when you come together at St George's Park, it's making sure, okay, you may play one way with your club, but you're not playing that way with England because that's not going to help us or whatever. So it's just making sure you switch on. And as an England team, we have to get on. So it's leaving whatever happened on that Sunday match where you've had a bad tackle or a grudge or whatever, you have to put it aside.
And it's kind of easy, or you have to work on it?
No, it's something that we have worked on as a team, and now when we come together as an England team, we know we have to do everything to make sure this England team's winning. We all have the same outcome and the same goal, so you have to push things aside.
And how do you enjoy playing in the Women's Super League as opposed to you played in the States as well?
The main reason I left, we wasn't professional in this country. It was still semi-pro, training on a Tuesday and a Thursday evening, no one turning up to games, and there was a kind of, I'd won everything with Arsenal. That was my next goal, to go and be professional and take my game to the next level. And then since coming back in 2012, I would honestly say that our league is one of the best ones in the world. We can still, there's so many ways to improve it still, and that's why you're seeing an influx of foreign players now wanting to come and play in England, because they know that our league is up there with any of the other ones now.
Yeah, well, Sweden's goalkeeper, Heather.
Sweden's goalkeeper. We've got a German international in our side, Man City. They've got a Swedish player. It just goes to show there's so many players, Spanish players, that all the top players want to come and play in England, and that tells you something.
You think that's a great sign?
Of course, yeah. When you've got top quality players wanting to come and play in this league, and that tells you the standard of the league, the technical ability, the physicality of the league, and the professionalism of each side, the capabilities to draw and attract them sort of players. But at the same time, you still want to be developing English players. But for me, I know going to America and playing with the top players improved me as an English player. So if our young players are training in an environment with the top international players, then they're going to improve.
And would you ever want to go back to the States to play?
No, I think where I am in my career and the level of our league, there's no reason for players now to go and look at playing in America as their first option, because like I just said, our league is so strong, stable, and how the teams are set up and the professional environment, there's no need for them to look elsewhere.
So the great news is it sounds as though we're not in any danger of losing Alex Scott from either England or On The Wing with me, Kate Mason, and she's not going to head out to America anytime soon. But we have now sent our England co-host out of the room, because what we're going to do now is have a bit of a chat with some major players on her team, and we want them to dish the dirt without her watching over them. So we've got 60 seconds of quick-fire questions with England and Manchester City captain Steph Houghton, most capped player Pharrell Williams, and manager Mark Sampson. And it all starts now.
Steph Houghton, professional footballer.
And how many caps have you got, Steph?
73 or 74, I think.
And what's your best moment in football?
Best moment in football for me is probably getting a bronze medal for England at the World Cup in 2015.
And what has been your worst moment?
I think probably injuries. I think breaking my leg just before the World Cup and doing my ACL was tough as a footballer to miss so much football.
What do you do when you're injured? How do you cope with it?
I think you just got to try and rehab as quickly as you possibly can, and that might be the time to switch off and spend time with families when you're not busy at football and you're in physio sessions as well.
And what would you have done, what job, if you hadn't been a footballer?
Probably a PE teacher.
Nice. And okay, thinking about your England teammates now, who is the messiest?
Jill Scott.
Interesting. Who is the noisiest?
At the moment, Rachel Daly, I think.
Who is the most generous?
Laura Bassett.
And who's your favourite?
Ellen White. Oh. I shouldn't have favourites, should you really, but I'll say Els, yeah.
And who do you fall out with?
Probably Els.
We're unearthing all the favouritism here on the wing. Next, Farrah Williams is our most capped player. She was sitting out the session earlier at St George's Park, but she managed to settle down on a grassy knoll by pitch 5 with me for a bit of a chat. Here she is, introducing herself in 60.
Farrah Williams, centre midfielder for Arsenal ladies and England ladies.
And how many caps have you got, Farrah?
155.
That's a bit of a record, isn't it?
It is the record at the minute. I'm sure someone will take it soon.
Who's going to catch you?
Karen Carney, probably, Alex Scott. I don't know from the men, Wayne Rooney, if he stays in it.
What's your best moment in football?
Winning the FA Cup at Wembley.
And your worst moment on the pitch?
Worst moment, probably scoring an own goal in an FA Cup final. Yep.
What would you have done as a job if you couldn't have played football?
Tough one. Probably coach. If I didn't make it as a footballer, I like football, so I'd probably coach.
Okay. And thinking about your England teammates now, who is the messiest?
Oh, Jill Scott. Easy answer.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Who's the noisiest?
Probably Jill Scott as well.
Who's the most generous?
Probably Jill Scott.
Oh my goodness, she's got all the attributes.
Yeah, she has everything. She's just, yeah. She's a cool character within the squad, yeah.
Is she your favourite?
No, people wouldn't say she's my favourite. Probably not my favourite, but she does have all those other attributes. My favourite within the squad, probably my closest mate within the squad, is Alex Scott.
And who do you fall out with the most?
Who do I fall out with the most? I try not to fall out with people. Just probably no one. We're quite a good bunch of girls, so we don't really fall out. No, no one.
Farrah Williams hitting us with the diplomacy there, except where midfielder Jill Scott is concerned. And last but not least, we heard from him earlier on the wing, saying he was sure that the girls should have been the ones taking home gold in Rio in August. Speaking to me, Kate Mason, it's the England manager.
Mark Sampson, head coach, England women.
And how long have you been doing that?
Just under 3 years.
And what's your best moment in football?
Best moment in football would have been the bronze medal win with the England team in last summer.
And the worst?
Semi-final loss at the same World Cup, 100%. Probably will be forever.
And how are you going to get over it?
It's hard. By winning one.
Got you. And what's the difference between coaching men and women?
Not much at all, really. I think the biggest difference is the teams I've been lucky enough to work with in the women's game have been full of really attentive and incredibly passionate players who are really keen to get better, which is a coach's dream.
And thinking about the England squad now, who is the messiest here?
Who's the messiest?
Yeah.
What, players or staff?
Oh, players.
Good, because I'd be a contender. Players, good question. I can tell you who's the least messiest, but the messiest would probably be... I'm going to go with Farrah Williams.
Interesting. Mm. And the noisiest?
Farrah Williams, 100%.
Not much agreement between those three, although quite a few fingers pointing towards Farrah Williams. But Farrah Williams was mainly worrying about who Alex Scott, our co-host today, would say was her favourite. So we're coming to that in a little bit. We've got her back in the room, Alex Scott, hello. And she's going to be answering those questions towards the end of this part. But we didn't want to prejudice her, obviously, in answering the questions, no matter how much Farrah Williams would have wanted that. So what we've got for you now to start off with, Alex Scott, are some more questions from our colleagues at Sport Magazine. Now, they've got a few bits and pieces that they've been asking about the England women's football team. Starting with, if you wanted someone in the England team, if you needed someone in the England team to swim the channel, who would you nominate?
Swim the channel. The only person that can come to my head is KB because she's so tall. So I'm just thinking her long arms and legs can get her through.
KB.
Yeah, Karen Barnsley. Sorry, our goalkeeper.
Thank you.
Very good. Broadcasting. Okay. Who would you want to organise a hen do?
Or a hen do, I'd have to say Jill Scott.
Why is that?
Because she is just so funny, off the cuff, and you are guaranteed a good night if she's organising it.
She's like the party one.
Yeah, she's just that character. She's so fun and bubbly to have around and very thoughtful at the same time. So she, you know that she'd go above and beyond to make sure it's the greatest night ever.
So it might be the same to ask who you'd want to take you all on holiday.
Ooh, take us all on holiday. To organise the holiday.
Well, I guess they'd be picking as well. So you'd want someone with good taste about like where to go.
No, I'd change it up. I'd maybe call Carly Telford for that one.
Ah.
Yeah, I think she's a good planner. She's also, so we've done a lot of work with, he's like a team development. And so everyone's in categories and Carly's a yellow, which means her personality, she's outgoing, she's bubbly, that sort of thing. So I think that would suit her.
What are the categories?
You have the sunshine yellow. You have green, which is earth green, which means you're very caring about emotions. You have blues that really, you have to give them detail. They need to know the detail of why and what's going on. And then you have reds that are your fiery characters, the competitors. And so it just, what you fit into and how I might speak to a red might be different to how I speak to a blue.
So what, will you tell us what colour you are?
Yes, I was green. I'm very caring, see, and yellow. Outgoing and bubbly at the same time.
So what's the cross between green and yellow? That's a kind of like greeny.
Yeah, so it's like that players can come and relate to me. We can have fun, but at the same time, I'm very caring. If I see someone down, I'll be the one to go and put my arm around them and make sure they're okay.
That's awesome. You have the best one.
I don't know. People might challenge that.
Well, what about the red ones?
Exactly.
Who's red?
The fiery reds are the ones that, you know, they say we're the winners of the team. We do anything to win and we put our bodies on the line. So I don't know. It just depends. But that's why in a team environment, not one will win you a gold medal. You have to have the mixture and the blends. And it's good to see which category you fit into.
Do you remember who was red?
Yeah, I do. I'm not giving no names away.
Tell me. Oh, no.
I'll leave that for the viewers to maybe guess.
Oh, fair enough then. Okay, so you're green and yellow. I think I could make myself, I think I could have a little, a few guesses, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. That's very naughty.
I've got a good poker face.
I'm not sure I believe that.
Can't throw my teammates under the bus. I can't do that.
Fair enough. Okay, on the subject of poker, who would you think would win at poker?
Farrah Williams, for sure.
Why is that?
Yeah, she's got a great poker face. She's good at like jabbing people to like wind people up a bit, but in a joking way. So I think Farrah Williams.
And the three things that we've heard that we asked the other girls in the 60 seconds were, who's the messiest person on the team?
Jill Scott.
Huh. Right.
Did someone else say that?
Who is the noisiest?
Oh, God, noisiest.
Kind of like maybe causing a bit of chaos and...
No, do you know what? Sometimes I'd say KB. KB's a bit like, that's her American side in her. She's like, hey, all the time. And sometimes you're like, okay, KB. Karen Bardsley.
How'd you calm her down? Is she a red?
No, I think you could, because sometimes she's just so over the top all the time. She's a sunshine yellow.
And who's your best friend on the team?
I'd have to say Farrah Williams. We've come through all the age groups together. We've known each other since we were wee babies. And I don't think we'd ever think, looking back, that we would have gone on to win the things and have as many caps and play in as tournaments as we have. So to have a friend and you do that together means a lot.
Well, we'll hear what they all said as well. And we'll see if it matches.
I hope Farrah Williams said me.
And there you have it. The perfect palette of England characters in the squad. Jill Scott's generosity perfectly blended with Carly Telford's holiday repping. But Alex Scott is not happy to throw anyone under the bus except possibly Farrah Williams. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Mark Sampson about plans for the final run-in to the international against Estonia on Thursday. That's kicking off at 7:05 at Meadow Lane. And we'll be hearing from England and Arsenal ladies forward Dan Carter when we have to send Alex Scott back into training. I'm Kate Mason. This is On the Wing. This is On the Wing at St George's Park. We're in the England Football Training Centre today. I'm Kate Mason, my co-host. England right back Alex Scott gets a rest now after strenuously dishing the dirt over the last hour, because I'm off to talk to England manager Mark Sampson. And the first thing I wanted to know about, what's the difference between coaching men and women?
As I always say with coaching, whether it be any sport or even in business, you know, people are people, and my job and the job of coaches is to try and get the best out of the people I work with. So women, men, you know, elite players like as I'm working with now, or junior players, or not so much talented players, the job is the coach to try and find a way to connect with people and get the best out of them. And you know, I'm lucky now, I've got a group of 23 and probably more than that women who are competing for a spot in this group, who are incredibly professional, hardworking, and really driven to be better. And when that's the case, as a coach, you've got to make sure the relationships are strong, so they want to listen to you and they want to play for you. But it's great because they want to learn. So when you share knowledge and you talk about football, they want to listen and they want to try and apply it in a football environment, which makes it really fun.
And big win against Serbia in terms of quantity of goals and also in terms of qualifying for the Euros.
Yeah.
People talk a bit about how there's not so much depth in the women's game globally. How do you think that affects the England team?
I mean, look, I think any football team, the more you can come up against the best, the more you can play or train with the best, clearly it's going to help your development. And you know, if you're a player, you know, you want to train with great players every day, and you want to play against great teams every week. So that's the ideal scenario. But like every other football team, you know, the fun bit about football is, you know, it's very difficult to predict games, and you're going to face different challenges. You're going to face teams who are going to, you know, try and dominate and make your life very difficult in terms of their attacking play. But there's also teams like Serbia, for example, who are going to try and make your life difficult in terms of being hard to play against and defend very, very deep. And all those type of challenges is what makes football fun, because you can't be a one-trick pony in international football. You've got to, you know, find different ways to beat what's ever in front of you, because when it gets to tournament time, you know, if you lose, you go home, and if you win, you stay. And you know, sometimes it's not the best team that goes through. It's the team that can find a way to beat the team that's in front of them. And that's a big part of our mentality here, that we want to try and play as well as we possibly can. But if we can't play as well as we possibly can, we absolutely want to win. So we'll always find a way to beat any opponent in front of us. And playing against different teams just gives us different challenges, which hopefully, when the games really matter come European Championship time, you know, we've had so many experiences that whoever we come up against, you know, we know what we need to do to find a way to keep ourselves in that tournament.
And the teams you're not going to be coming up against are the ones in Rio at the moment, because there's no Team GB. How does that feel? How do you think that affects the girls?
Well, I mean, you know, I feel for the girls, because it is frustrating for them, because they earned the right. It's very difficult to earn the right to go to Olympics. You had to finish as one of the top three European nations at the World Cup, and England were the best European nation at the last World Cup. So the players earned the right to represent themselves and their country at the Olympic Games, which, you know, is very special to become an Olympic athlete. But that's been taken away from them in the short term, and hopefully in the long term that situation will change, because I think, you know, not just the women behind me, but any sports person who earns the right to compete at Olympics should be given the opportunity to do that. And probably, I think the most frustrating thing from this group of players is that, from what I've seen at the Olympic Games, not only have they been denied the chance to be forever known as Olympian, but they don't want a gold medal in this Olympic Games. So they've been denied the chance of competing to win a gold medal. So they're all frustrated, but look, we've moved on from it. You know, we're aware now that the only thing we can do is go and win European Championships, and let the powers that be decide what will happen post the next World Cup about the Olympic Games. But you know, we've got our work cut out to win that European Championship and try and win the following World Cup and give ourselves a chance of competing if given a chance.
And attentive listeners will have realised that you're Welsh. Can't you pull a few strings with some different FAs?
They must be very attentive, because I think my accent is slowly moving from all the places I've managed to live over the course of my life. Luckily,
I think it's still quite Welsh.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because I'm relaxed. I've been shouting as well, so I become more Welsh then. But no, I think, look, it's something, luckily, that is well above my pay grade and outside of my control. So I'm not going to get involved in that. I think that's up to the people who make those decisions. And I think the only message I always send is, you know, please, please put the athletes' needs at the top of any decision you're going to make. And if that's the case and they make the right call for the athletes, then, you know, they'll have my support. But that's their decision to make, and we'll do whatever we can to make their decision as positive for us as we possibly can.
And what do you think it is about the Welsh and football coaching? Because There's quite a few of you in it.
Yeah,
you know?
There is actually, yeah. Well, we've got one goalkeeper coach working with me, who's another Welshman. I think that was probably a mistake, actually, to get him with. He's a bit of a pain in the backside. But no, he does an amazing job, Lee. No, I mean, look, I think Wales have had a fantastic summer at the European Championships with their results and how far they went in the tournament. And it just shows that, you know, tournament football is such a unique experience. You haven't got to be the best team. You've just got to find a way to win football matches. And Wales did that great. And, you know, congratulations to Chris and all the players. It was great to actually go out there and spend some time watching the games and enjoy those performances. But, yeah, at the moment, I think it's a nice little time for Welsh coaches and Welsh teams. But, you know, like in football, these things happen in cycles and things go around in circles, so I'm sure it'll be someone else's turn pretty soon.
I was thinking it might be to do with the kind of nurturing Welsh national character. You know, you do your singing, you nurture a few young footballers. What do you reckon?
Well, you know, I suppose normally what we could be pushed and argued with is that we're a rugby nation.
Yeah.
So maybe football is starting to put their foot down a little bit and make a bit of noise to say that, you know, rugby's not the only sport that's played in Wales. But, no, I don't know what the formula is, but... you know, we'll have to see now if it can be, hopefully, it can be sustained over longer term.
Yeah, and how come you didn't go down the rugby route?
I mean, I'm small and I'm not very quick. So if you want to be a rugby player, you've got to be, one, you want to be either massive, and if you're not massive, you've got to be really quick. So they were two skills in life I was certainly not blessed with. And to be honest, I mean, you could ask the same question why I went down a football route. No, I love rugby. I really enjoy it. I still enjoy it now. I love watching it and don't play anymore. Absolutely not. It was far too aggressive for me.
Mark Sampson, England women's coach there, talking to me, Kate Mason, for On The Wing. Now, we've been really focused on the England women's team this week on The Wing, ahead of their final home qualifier for the Euros against Estonia. That's at 7:05 on Thursday. But as always, we've got a close eye on the FA Women's Super Leagues, in particular Women's Super League One, where all sides were in action over the last few days. And defending champions Chelsea keep the pressure on leaders Manchester City. From TalkSport 2's Sports Day, our man Russ Hargreaves has more.
The top three teams were all in action over the weekend in Women's Super League One. Manchester City women travelled to Boreham Wood for a tough test against Arsenal ladies, while Chelsea were flattered by their 3-0 defeat of Reading. Manchester City moved a step closer to their first WSL title with their 1-0 win at Arsenal. Scotland striker Jane Ross won the game, deflecting in England captain Steph Horton's second-half free kick. It was the London side's second straight 1-0 defeat to City, the last coming in the Continental Tyres Cup the week before, and defeat puts Champions League football almost out of reach for the Gunners now. Over at Adams Park, the Royals kept the defending champions at bay in a tight goalless first half, but captain Katie Chapman again broke the deadlock after her heroics against Notts County with a header off Karen Carney's free kick. Victory means Chelsea secure Champions League qualification if they pick up 2 points from their final three matches. After the international break, the two championship chasers face each other at Manchester City's Academy Stadium in what could well be the title decider. Can Chelsea nick it? You'll find out in 11 days' time with On The Wing.
Thanks to Russ Hargreaves there for the latest from the Women's Super League. And now, just before England face Estonia in their final Euro qualifier at home, another Arsenal lady has joined us on the phone to talk about her hopes of getting her second England cap this week, her hat-trick on debut against Estonia, and the pain of losing to Manchester City again. Talk us through the game then, England forward Dan Carter.
We played them last week, so twice in 2 weeks now. Obviously, last week was a very different game to the one just gone. It was a one-off cup game, and it was very disappointing that we didn't win that game, to be fair. The game just gone, again, it was another goal that was a very lucky goal, but then again, we didn't create many chances, so we can't be too disheartened that we lost that game.
And what do you think it is makes them so good defensively when you're trying to push through? What are they doing to frustrate you?
I think it's more a case of they've all played throughout the year more consecutively. They know each other. They've got a good bond at the back. But just as a whole, their team is very... It's been the same throughout the league, so they've had time to gel. They've had time to work out how each other play, so... Yeah.
And you guys, though, you've had a really strong finish. So, Arsenal, it took a while to get going. Why do you think that is?
I mean, we brought in a load of players this season again. So I guess it's just knowing who he wants to play, who our manager wants to play, and just kind of understanding his players, I guess. But yeah, it has taken us a very long time to gel, and we're just not very consistent at the moment.
To return to Man City, you think basically that they it's to do with their bonding as a team that's made them so good this season?
Yeah, I would say so. Obviously, I've been in Arsenal teams where we've dominated. We've won the treble in 1 year, and that's to do with the team. If you've got a good team, if everyone's like together, then you're going to perform better. That's just a given. I think that's been proven. With success, you need a togetherness within the team.
So you think that's what's kept Arsenal off the title race this season?
If I'm comparing to other teams we've had and other seasons we've had, we've only won the FA Cup this year, which, being at Arsenal, that isn't a successful season. So, I mean, I'm not sure what the issue is now, but yeah, in terms of being at Arsenal, everyone wants to win trophies, wants to win the league, and where we've come away with just one, as it stands, it's not a very successful season for us.
Mm. And what's the mood been like in the squad, in the Arsenal squad, in the last few games?
Last week, it was a case of we were all very disappointed. We created more chances. We were a better team, we thought. So to lose that game, it was hard to take. The game's just gone. Again, we conceded an unfortunate goal, got a deflection, and ultimately that won them the game.
So now moving away from the Women's Super League to talk about England. Now you, Dan Carter, must have the best stats of any England player in history, right? Because you have one appearance and three goals. How are you gonna build on that, Dan?
Well, I'm just trying to get another cap and more goals, so I'm quite happy to get rid of that stat and add to my caps and goals.
Fair enough. And can you cast your mind back to that game? So back in September, what was the vibe? Did you realise it was going to be such a big win before you met Estonia?
No, not at all. Obviously, we knew where it was ranked, but that doesn't really mean I was expecting so many goals in one game. Mm. I just think we got off to a really good start and then grew into the game and managed to get goal after goal, and it was a really good game for all of us.
Do you remember which was your favourite? Did you have a favourite?
It would probably have to be the first one.
Yeah.
Just simply because it was so early on and it was my first goal, so I'll probably have to stick with that one, definitely.
And you kept pushing for the hat-trick. Was that like an aim once you got the second? You thought, I can make this happen today?
Not really. Obviously, when I got the second, it was like, okay, great, like, wow, I'll score two goals. Obviously, I want to score as many goals as I can in one game. So when I actually got the third, it was just a relief.
Yeah.
I think there's a picture of me in it. You can just see, I was just like, yes, sort of thing, because that was right at the end. But yeah, no, I was just happy with one originally, and then two, the second and the third came, so I was buzzing.
Facing the same side again on Thursday, how do you feel in the build-up to that?
Well, yeah, hopefully I can do what I need to do in training and then hopefully get some minutes in that game, and I would love to score again, but ultimately just need to win the game.
And how do you feel? I mean, you guys have obviously qualified already, so how does that affect the game, the feeling going into the game?
Obviously, we're all aware that we have qualified, but it's still a case of we need to win. We need to have a good performance. Just confidence alone, really. Just so when we do go into the Euros next year, we can look back and be like, yeah, we've got like 100% record not losing in the qualifiers.
Yeah, and coming up after Estonia is Belgium. Now, they're the only ones who've really given you any trouble so far,
yeah,
as a side. So that must be quite an exciting game to look ahead to.
Yeah, it'll be a good game to finish the campaign on. Obviously, we drew last time. We played against them, so there's going to be more put into that to try and get the three points, try and win this time. Yeah, it probably wasn't the best game, but we can now. We've got another chance, a second chance to go to their ground and put in a better performance.
And Mark Sampson thinks you're going to win next year. What do you reckon?
Well, there's nothing stopping us. Obviously, the World Cup just gone. We were the best team in Europe, so to speak. So, obviously, working on that, building on that, those performances, there's still time between now and the Euros to do what we need to do behind the scenes and really take charge in the Euros next year.
And you've worked your way up all the way through the whole England setup, youth teams, under-17s, 19s, then the bit that's called the Dev Squad. How do you think it is different now being a full international?
I guess it's just rewarding, really, especially where I've come through every single age group and kind of proved myself at every single age group. It's now nice to be sort of at the top where you've aspired to be when you've been younger. So it's just nice to finally be here and do what you need to do to remain here and be here for many years, hopefully.
Did you have any doubts about making it through the stages?
No, I wouldn't say I had any doubts. I just knew I had to be patient. That was all, really. I never doubted that I would never get to this stage. It's just a matter of doing what I need to do, be patient until you get your chance. And then when you get your chance, take it.
Awesome. And you did, of course, in September, and hoping to do again on Thursday. When was your first training camp, Dan?
My very first training camp, as in with the seniors?
Well, both, actually. I was thinking about when you were a little kid and then also...
It was when I was in the under-15s. We played Germany twice back-to-back. So my very first game was against Germany at Isham Abbey.
Yeah. And how did that feel?
I was about 13. Christ. Yeah, that was amazing. I remember that. My mum came to watch and, yeah, it was really good, actually. My mum, my nan and granddad.
What memories. They must have been pretty excited to see their little 13-year-old go out in an England top.
Yeah, definitely. They've always been supportive and proud of me, so it's nice to keep doing things to make them even more proud as I've grown up, really.
What do they say when you have a really great game? What's the response?
Well, my mum very rarely likes to tell me that I've had a good game, whether I have or haven't. So she likes to keep me on my toes.
Nice.
Never really too. But no, they are encouraging. They're always there supporting me, so I can't fault them.
So she likes to keep you hungry?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Seems to be working.
Well, yeah.
So you're playing alongside some pretty established... in the squad, there's some pretty established women. So Karen Carney, obviously, with 117 caps. How does that does that help? How does that feel playing along someone so experienced?
Well, yeah, Kaz alone, she's been around for what feels like ages, and she's only young still. So to be able to train with her and share the same pitch as her and gain her knowledge and experience is really nice.
Do you feel intimidated?
No, not at all. Everyone's very welcoming, to be fair. Young, old, it's just really teamy. Don't feel intimidated at all, to be fair.
How do you think they create that in the squad, that feeling?
I think that just goes down to individuals, to be fair. Just people's characters, how people are as people. I don't think you work on that. I think it's just a natural thing. If you're a good person, you're a good person.
Which is a great way for things to be, but there are 7 Man City players and 5 Arsenal ladies here. So after last game, are things a little bit awkward? How are you like ignoring each other in the canteen?
No, nothing like that. what happened, can't change that. We're now at England together, one team, so we need to just brush club aside for this week and focus on getting results as England.
England forward Dan Carter promising that there is perfect unity in England women's squads, and we wish them all the best of luck on Thursday. The kickoff will be 7:05 on BBC2. It'll be live if you want to watch on telly, or alternatively you can get down to Notts County's Meadow Lane to watch the match live. There'll be tickets available on the door. Thanks also to my co-host Alex Scott of England, to Dan Carter for talking to us just now, Mark Sampson, England women's manager, and of course Steph Horton and Farrell Williams, who spoke to us earlier. Thanks also to Ed and Paddy at Jute Deck, who supplied the music for us today. All that remains is for me to wish the England women the best of luck against Estonia on Thursday. I'm Kate Mason. This is On the Wing on TalkSport 2.